Welcome back to the 20 Under 20s podcast, where we interview the teenagers of Generation Z who are making a huge impact in business.
Where do I see ourselves going? Wherever the kids need our help. That's exactly where we're going to go. The thing with stubbornness is it can be a positive thing. It means I don't settle for anything less than I'm deserving of. I was born to be legendary, not ordinary.
What's up, guys? I'm super pumped to have my good friend Dave Boddy on the show today. Dave is the founder of the BU Heroes community, which I'm lucky enough to be a part of. And the BU Heroes community is a platform where teens can inspire each other with the mission of recognizing youths who are empowering and inspiring their communities, all while overcoming obstacles through their resilience, focus, and adaptation. Dave has some incredible stories on how he went through traumatic brain injuries, along with how he came up with the idea of BU Heroes and where he wants to see it go in the future. At first, can you just tell them a little bit more about what BU Heroes is, what your idea behind it was, and where you see it going?
Of course, yeah. I'm kind of burned out from last night. I'll do it again. I'll do it all again happily. Yeah, BU Heroes community started in 2012 after I was discharged from brain injury rehab with over 15 concussions and diagnosed with permanent brain damage. There was a lot of research at that time, and there was a lot of increase with statistics in regards to teen suicide, and I figured the best place to go to offer a safe community would be online. And we have been just making a name for ourselves with building over 61 BU Heroes, with yourself included. And where do I see ourselves going? Wherever the kids need our help. That's exactly where we're going to go.
That's the best way to do it, right?
Exactly.
So what makes someone a BU Hero? If somebody's interested in becoming it, what's the perks of being one? How if somebody's interested, how do you sort of interview them for it, I guess you could say? What's your process?
Oh, for sure. The first thing, like any other relationship, you have to build it through trust, through honesty, and through just, you know, with the pure intent to add genuine value. So basically what I do is I just go on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and I just put in hashtags, hashtag youth star, hashtag youth hero, hashtag inspirational youth. And, you know, it's so incredible how many youth that you'll find when you actually learn how to. Yeah, hashtags have so much power when you learn how to use them. And when I find these youth and I realize that they're pursuing their passion and their inspirations that they've got from family and friends, they're pursuing everything that they want. That's where my saying comes in, where you inspire through production, where you show your results. And so in order to be a BU Hero, it's a simple, simple thing. You have to be a youth that is on social media that's basically seen as an amazing source of inspiration through acting, writing, singing, entrepreneurship, like yourself and Casey Adams. Just many talents that
I didn't even know Casey Adams was one.
Yeah. He was inducted, 8 months ago? Quite a while ago he was inducted.
Casey Adams, a beast. I love that dude.
Oh, yeah. He for sure, you know, great guy, great, you know, great kid. And so basically the process with the BU Heroes is you have to be a youth that is not only chasing your passion, but you have to have the mentality that you want to add value to youths around the world. I've had a lot of youths come to me that have a good social media presence, but to be quite frank, they were very arrogant. And I said, no, I'm not going to add you just because you like the logo or that you like how the advertisements look or how our branding looks. You have to be legitimate, with the intent to add value. If you don't have that, then I don't want to discuss it with you. I'll connect with you. I'll still help you out. I'll still teach you. I'll still, mentor you. But I will not be able to induct you as a hero if I don't feel that your intentions are pure.
Yeah. It's definitely an awesome group. I know I've only been in for a week, but it's already, I've seen it. Dave's an awesome guy. And just from what I've seen, it's just an amazing community. What are you up to now? 25 ambassadors?
23 BU Heroes. Actually, wait, sorry, 24. Because I just inducted Florence this morning as well. So we're at 24 BU Hero ambassadors. Now, the way that works is there's some confusion there. BU heroes are ages 3 to 25.
Three?
Three. Like, the Kearns twins are great. Great use. Like, even at the age of 4, they're just... when you see their content, you just laugh and you just feel happy. And they have such a bright future when it comes to acting. And then once you turn 26, that's when you become a BU Heroes ambassador.
Got it. Jesse and Dave are manimals. You guys inspire me.
I've never been called a manimal. I've been called a beast.
Sean, I've never called that. I've never been called a manimal before.
I think it is common. I'll take it.
Ashley said, what is this? What did I miss? You didn't miss anything. Just talking about BU Heroes, which is what Dave runs. Awesome group. I was incredibly grateful to be the, 61st? 60th?
You're the 61st. Ashley Brooke Hunt, her daughter Chloe, is a BU Hero as well.
That's awesome.
She's amazing. Chloe's phenomenal. You're 61st. It's such an odd number, but it's still an accomplishment. Right? It's still an accomplishment. Like, you weren't the 65th. You weren't the 70th. You're the 61st. You're the beginning towards the 70th, right?
I'm the first one on the pathway to 70.
Exactly.
Clearly, so yeah, that's special.
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. And I just, with what you were doing, with giving a platform to youths under the age of 20 to explain their story, like, man, you had the people on your show who invented this, which is the fidget spinner.
Alan and Cooper, awesome guys.
Right? You had these individuals who had such an incredible story. Like, when I haven't watched the entirety of it, but I watched like the first about 15, maybe 10 minutes. And it was incredible with how like they were doing it in the school on a 3D printer.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's the kind of youth that I look for. Like, that's right there. You know, youth that take initiative towards their passion. Like, they saw a great, like, man, I love this thing. I'm 31 and I love this thing.
Oh, I don't even know where I put mine, but
it goes in two directions, and I'm so entertained.
They just released one where it plays music. It's a Bluetooth one.
What?
How crazy is that?
Genius.
We need Alan and Cooper in here right now, and they need to tell us how to get
it. Like, such a simple design.
In 3 months, they went from... Or in 5 months, they went from being like, I don't know, just normal high schoolers to running a mid-range to high six-figure company with Forbes features, entrepreneur features, everything, which is ridiculous.
Phenomenal. Like, and that's exactly, like, don't tell Chloe that. But that's exactly, you know, and that's, those are the kind of use I am very enticed with, where the ones that just say, you know what? I'm going to break the restraints of societal pressure and this whole, I got to be a typical design and a duplicate of others and become the first in me. Like, those are the youths I look for. You know, that's the best way to answer their question is, I look for the youths that want to be the first of them. And those are the ones I induct.
We're getting Caleb Maddox in this. You should get Caleb Maddox in.
I totally forgot to invite him.
We talked about this, right?
Yes, we did.
How, my memory is Caleb that is great, as you can tell, and I've never even had a concussion.
Well, don't get one. They're not fun.
Yeah, but your memory with 15 concussions is better than my memory with 0. That's when you know.
I will take it.
What was your experience with the multiple concussions, and what was it like sort of like to give up? Because I know you were always in security. You wanted to become a police officer. Sort of what was that experience going through?
Oh, for sure. My first ever concussion, I was 4 years old. I was play wrestling with my father, and I jumped off a chair, and I miscalculated the distance between the chair and the hideaway bed. I don't know if you're familiar with what a hideaway bed is. It's where the couch can convert into a bed.
Oh, yeah, like a pull-out couch or whatever.
I don't know how young you are or how old I am, so I just want to explain that quickly. But you got it. But yeah, when I jumped, I smoked my right side of the head on the metal framing. And when I did that, it was like the right sponge, the right side of my head was like a sponge where you can like push in, and you can feel the blood moving. So I popped blood vessels and did some pretty good damage. And then from then on, I just got concussions for, I got 3 in football in high school. I got 3 in professional wrestling when I was training with current WWE champion Jinder Mahal, actually. I also got 3 in security and bodyguard work.
What'd you do in security and bodyguard work?
Oh, I worked actually a variety of places. My favorite was malls. I love working at shopping centers because it's like, that's the best place to get experience and training. So when I worked at a mall here in Calgary, which is the most criminal active mall in the city, I got stabbed. I got tested for HIV twice. I dealt with rape situations. I dealt with drunks, gangs, at-risk youth in regards to prostitution, drugs, gangs. Like, I dealt with so much. So many stories. Like, that is a whole new podcast, a whole new interview right there for just stories.
Oh, yeah, that we one spend ball. Hours on that.
Yeah, like it's intense. What I usually do sometimes is I'll share a story throughout like a couple weeks on my Facebook and my profiles just to give insight to what I dealt with. I also did a bodyguard for Econoline Crush, Trooper, Cher, and just numerous other celebrities in regards to like escort servicing. The last one I did was a couple years ago with Ryan Hurst, who's a star from Sons of Anarchy as Opie, as well as Remember the Titans and some other big shows and movies, but I loved it. Like, it was actually how I got involved with security was completely unexpected. I needed a job. I just suffered a concussion at Zeller's working overnights where I was an idiot and I didn't see the wet floor sign where they just waxed the floor, and I got excited for some unknown reason. And I flew like the witnesses said 5 feet in the air and went right at my temple, knocked me right out. So I needed a job. My dad's like, you know, security is hiring part-time for 2 weeks during the stampede season. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I got to my first brawl and I was just hooked. I was just like, wow, this is intense. So then I started going to college. I started going to a school that's no longer around, but it used to be called the Hilltop Security Academy, where they taught you like restraints, self-defense. So I took self-defense and I fell in love with that. And then in 2006, I got assaulted while I was robbed. I got hit in the head 3 times with a shovel and hit in the mouth with an A&W glass mug, which resulted in my 12th concussion of 15. And I developed PTSD because of that for a couple months. And when that happened, I realized, holy cow, I need more self-defense. So when that happened in 2006, from 2006 until 2011, I took on average 3 to 4 self-defense courses a year. Like, I became so passionate about self-defense, because when you're put in a situation where you're getting hit in the head with a shovel, it wakes you up. Where it like puts you in a depression state where you're constantly scared. And I'm like, no. Like, I can't be scared of this. I can't let this overwhelm me and potentially ruin my security career. Cause I was only doing security at that point for, about a year. So like, I was still fresh. And then after I recovered from that concussion, I was off for 2 months. I got back right into it, taking the self-defense. And then I got my dream job at the time, which was the mall. In my very first day, we arrested a guy for theft, and he was a registered sex offender. He was stealing women's clothing, and then he stole some kids' clothing. So that wasn't like an eye opener where I was like, "Holy cow! Like, this is not criminal minds." Yeah, like I was working at a very sketchy mall, and then a couple of days into the first week, we had a guy get stabbed in the knuckles, and he was HIV positive, and he was waving around his hand and there's blood everywhere. And I was like, what am I doing? But I loved it. And that's when I realized, you know what? I wanted to become a police officer, and I got more concussions. And then I met with the police chief at that time, Rick Hansen. And he's like, no, unfortunately you wouldn't pass the medical due to concussions. And I had shoulder surgery in 2003. So he's like, as soon as you get a surgery, you're basically out of the running. Like, they don't even consider you. And that was when I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll just focus on security. I'll just become a security manager. So I started taking courses. I started focusing on that. And that was about a year into my security career. I was automatically promoted to senior officer and then supervisor everywhere I went. I loved it. But then when I got my 15th concussion in 2011 during a brawl, I had to make the decision that, you know, it was best for my family at the time, for my son. And that concussion was... within 2 weeks, I was sent to rehab because they realized I was having consistent issues. And even when I was telling my doctors, like, I'm dealing with hallucinations, I'm dealing with suicidal ideations, like I'm dealing with a lot of depression. Even when I told the doctors that, they still said, it's okay, take 2 weeks off, take 3 weeks off. And I was like, okay. So I thought everything was normal. But then when I got my 15th concussion, it grew rapidly, where my symptoms were increased, where I would, what I call was emotionally black out, where I would throw a couch or I'd punch a wall and I'd have no collection of what I was doing. And it got to the point that I was no longer who I was. Like, I was completely different. And while I was going through the rehab process, it was so bad with my, what's called the BPPV, which I don't know the exact technical term, because it's a big, big, long definition. But basically, in both of your ears, you have three canals, all pointing in different directions. And within those canals, there's crystals. And when you hit your head, the crystals will leave the canal and enter your skull. And that's what causes you to be dizzy. And there's usually a process that puts those crystals back within the canals quickly. But due to my concussion symptoms and the amount of I had, my crystals would not go back into the canals. Huh. So every 4 years, I got to go get my head scanned. And that's why I'm most likely never going to be clear to drive a vehicle, because they don't know if my crystals will ever go back in. And as a result of that, I have frequent sporadic dizzy spells that can just happen out of nowhere. I haven't had them for a while, but the last one I did have was I was wrapping a skid at work and I was dizzy for over an hour and a half straight. And
so the crystals prevent, like when they go out of place, you can become dizzy out of nowhere?
Yeah, that's what causes you to be dizzy. Like if you stand up too fast, that means your crystals have left the canal. But they go back in so quickly, like normally.
Permanently left.
Yeah, like we all have that issue. And, you know, that's what causes when you stand up really fast, you're like, oh, geez. Or if you turn really fast or you hit your head. But my crystals are stubborn and they're like, no, I ain't going back in the canal, which causes me the diagnosis of permanent brain damage because it affects my vision. So if you give me a map or a graph that has multicolors, multi shapes, I can't focus. Like my eyes don't communicate fast enough with the brain. So it just causes me to get very flustered. On top of all that, I was also diagnosed with ADHD in 1997, which the concussions were confirmed to have increased my symptoms as a result of the ADHD. So memory problems, which alternately, like some days I have short-term memory issues, some days I have long-term, sometimes I have no memory issues at all. Like it's very sporadic. There's also days where I can be put into a just a down mood and not have any idea why, where I'm just like, you know what, I feel sluggish today, I have no energy. So all the concussions completely, like growing up with them was not easy because I had so much struggle with the school system. As you know, the school system has that simple design of you are one in 1,000 students and you're all going to learn the same. Like even if they put you in a special class, like I was in a class that was called IOP, which was individual occupational program. So basically it was for kids that have mental health issues, concussions, or slow learning process. Even when I was in that class, it was still designed to be taught the same way. Like you are aware of that because you yourself have ADD. So you understand this, the struggle with the school system when you're like, no, you're not entertaining me enough to you know, where I can stay focused. Oh, like no,
I go crazy. Like, today was probably one of the hardest days because I have 6 tests today. I can't even focus during one test. 6 tests back to back to back to back to back to back. I was like, oh my God. And it's next week's finals week. So yeah.
Yeah. So you understand, like when I was in school, the biggest struggle for me was math. And I designed in my mind my own way of figuring out solutions. Like, for example, I hate math. I despise it, but I'm like, you know what? I need it. Because it's relevant in everyday life. It's not like Shakespeare lessons where you're like, I'm not going to walk to Zellers or Target and be like, thou shall you pass me that product. Like, I'm not going to speak William Shakespearean. So I didn't care about that. But math, I understood. And it got to the point where I was sent to the office because I did the math incorrectly, even though I had the exact same answer they were looking for that everyone else had. Like, for example, if you said, Dave, what's 14 plus 22? My process is 14 plus 20 is 34 plus 2 is 36. That's how I figured it out. But I was constantly told, no, it's incorrect. That's not the process I taught you. So like in regards to last night's meeting we had for 3 hours, in regards to the bullying and what kids are stressful, you know, dealing with stress and stuff, school is not helping. Like when you have kids like you and I who have a different mindset, a different outlook, which to be honest with you, we all have different personalities. So when schools are like, no, we have to teach you this certain way, it's like automatically the school system is flawed because you can't teach everyone the same way. You just cannot do it. Yeah. But when you have ADHD or ADD or ODD, It's just like, it's a different world for, like, same with autism. It's a completely different world that we are living in, and we're stubborn. Like, I was so stubborn in school. Like, my fiance, she's known me since 1998. So since grade eight, she's known me. And she's like, oh, you are the most stubborn kid in high school. I was like, but the thing with stubbornness is it can be a positive thing. It means I don't settle for anything less than I'm deserving of. So I knew that I was deserving of respect, but I wasn't getting it. Like, from age, or so from grade kindergarten to grade six, I was called a loser, worthless by the teachers. And then they're like, oh, he has ADHD. And now we feel bad. And it's like, well, it's a little too late. You know, like, the damage is already done. So not only was I growing up with concussions and dealing with that unknowing territory, because at that time, concussions were known. You were just like, oh, you hit your head, take 2 weeks off, you're fine. But if you have a broken arm, okay, you had to go through physio, you had to go through all this process to make sure it heals properly. But yet the brain, which is one of the most fragile organs, they're like, rest for 2 weeks, take some Advil, not realizing that when you take medication with a concussion, it can actually have counterproductive effects to it and make it worse. So, you know, growing up was a hard process. And then when I got diagnosed with ADHD, it just got even worse.
Yeah, for sure. I find that super interesting. And that's something that I want to do a full interview with you about at some point and hear more about, like, that kind of story. Because it's such a long and interesting debate how the school system can come more together and individualize learning. Because when it's that one in 1,000 kind of situation where everyone's different, it's hard. And especially when everyone's so different, people could be on completely different ends of the spectrum, but they're being taught the same way.
Yeah, like, you know, let's say you're in the zoo and you are a zoo instructor. Would you enter the orangutan cage and then the lion cage and then enter the aquarium with the penguins with the exact same teaching plan? Or would you realize that would be a complete sabotage right from the get-go?
I've never heard that metaphor.
Think about it. Like, you cannot tell a fish to climb a tree, right? You can't do that. It's not going to be, you know, as soon as you tell a fish, climb that tree, the fish is like, well, I've already lost. Like, you're comparing me to a freaking monkey. You're comparing me to a bear or a cheetah or something that's, you know, very well reliable in climbing a tree. Like, it's absolutely, and that's what's wrong with the school system. And if you actually want to see a school system that has it, look at Sweden and Finland. Like, their school system is genius, where it's more inclined on personal teaching, laid back time schedules. It's like 4 hour days, 5 hour days of school, but you have like a 50 minute break every hour and a half or something like that. But it's like the school system in USA and Canada is absolutely flawed, but people protect it because it's what they're mentally conditioned to do, where you don't fight the government.
That is flawed.
Exactly. You settle. Oh, you know, it is what it is. As soon as anyone says it is what it is to me, I realize they have a submissive mindset. And it's like, you have to reverse engineer that. It's not, you know, it is not what it is. It is how you think it is. It is how you accept it to be. And I never accepted that in school. So I fought the system and I almost lost. So I didn't almost graduate, but I ended up graduating with an extra 9 credits because I said, you know what? Fine. I'm going to prove you wrong in an element and in a way that will help you support me. So I started doing good in class. I started, you know, focusing more and doing the best I could in math. Like, I was getting 51%, 52% in math. Like, my goal was anything above 50 that lets me go through the process was good enough for me. But there's so many kids that are just struggling with this. And on top of the mental stress of, you know, dealing with their ADHD or ADD or autism or OCD, on top of that, they have bullying, they have at-home issues, they have the constant social media pressure to fit in and look a certain way. Like, there's so much pressure on youth that they actually said that the youth in school nowadays, in high schools and colleges, have more stress than and more mental restraint and more mental exertion than 1950s insane asylum patients. But they're saying the stress level is absolutely, well, like you said, you had 6 exams or something like that. That's crazy.
Yeah.
You know,
it's crazy.
You know your future. Like, you know what you're going to do with your life because you're already doing it. But as another youth, how can you focus on building your future and knowing where you want to go when you got 6 exams to focus on, you got school projects? You can't tell a 16. Like, when you graduate high school, go to college. For what? I don't know what I'm going to do because the whole 3 years of my high school career, I was taught to be someone else. So now I graduate, I have no idea where I'm going to go, what I'm going to aspire to be, because if I tell someone I want to be this, they'll judge me for it. They'll bring me down because they want you to be the you know, part of the 97%, when you and I know we want to be part of the 3%. Like, we want to be part of the elite, like the people that say, you know what, I broke the restraints of society because I was worth it.
Yeah.
And that's what I taught you told you last Wednesday, or whenever we talked, like 2 weeks ago, we talked on Wednesday. I said, you found the power of realizing it as a disability, as in THIS ability, as opposed to DIS ability. Like, I even told you, I'm like, wouldn't it be funny if you realized that people who have ADHD, ADD, ODD, we have the actual normal brain and everyone else has the submissive. Like, it's funny if you think about that, because it's like, I'm as happy as I can be because all my focus on is my life is passion. That's it. Anything else, I could not care less about.
And for, that's a fun stuff.
It's not my passion.
Like, what if it's the other way around?
What if it is? What if this whole time you and I and many thousands, like, let's look at the reality here. How many entrepreneurs and creative geniuses have there been that were confirmed to have a mental health illness?
100%.
More, like, all of them had ODD, ADD, ADHD. Like, they had some sort of air quote mental illness that people have labeled it as. When I realize it's a freaking talent. Like, I am so creative to the fact where it's like, if I can't use my creativity in a project, I won't partake. And people are like, oh, that's a stupid decision. Cause I'm like, no, I don't lose opportunities. I create them.
Yeah.
I create my own opportunities, you know? And that's why I'm glad you were able to do the same thing. Cause you could have been a narcissistic where you fell down to the system and submitted and just became miserable and depressed. Like, sadly, majority of the teens nowadays are. Like, how did you overcome it?
I guess it was just because I knew I had that passion and I knew that I had that drive. And I knew from a very young age what I wanted to do and how I wanted to get there. My goal from being not that I'm materialistic, but ever since I was a little kid, my goal was I want to own a sports team. That was my goal from like 2 years old.
That sounds very familiar to someone we both know.
Yeah, it does. So it's actually above my bed. There's a little sign that says sports team and a billion. So the goal has always been that. I just thought it was cool. But I knew since a very young age, that's what I wanted to do. And whether it's realistic or not, I tried to wake up every morning and pursue that goal.
How do you even define realistic if you actually think about that term? Like, how would you even define realistic?
Oh, I'm making thoughts? It happen. I'm making it happen. Anyone who's listening,
yeah,
you'll become reality, guys.
Yeah, like, reality is different for every single one of us, because what's the favorite saying is perception is reality.
Yeah.
So you may perceive your life as entrepreneurism, culture, and you want to have your own businesses. So you say, you know what, I want to be a veterinarian. So are you going to tell that person, no, that's an unrealistic goal because you're not pursuing exactly what I'm doing? So it's like, reality is something that's not universal, it's subjective.
Yep.
I'm glad you realized that, where you said, you know what? No, I'm not going to do what you want me to do because I was born to be legendary, not ordinary.
Facts. If I can do this in 6 months, where I'm at the point where, not even as a point of saying this as like ego kind of thing, but the fact that you can do it. Like, if in 6 months I've built up my network where I'm buddies with the Vaynerchuks, Mark Cuban, Grant Cardone, I don't know, you name them, and I know somebody who knows them. If I can do it in 6 months, anybody can do it. It just takes passion and persistence.
It takes inspiration. It takes, you know, but here's the thing that I've realized that you do that many people don't do is you understand the difference between interest and commitment. You understand the difference between interest and passion. Because what people don't understand is they get to that process, you know, and I'm a passionate to purpose coach and I love coaching this, but they have this process where they get an interest in something and then they follow it. But where they fail is the execution of the motivation to commit to actions and to results, where they just realize, oh,
350 cold emails a day, then you don't want it that bad.
Yeah, like, it's all like, you know, Gary Vee says it, Grant Cardone says it, everyone who's successful, Les Brown says it, it's all about effort and consistency. That's all it is.
Yeah.
Like, I can give you fancy words of like, oh yeah, you know, it's about passion, dedication. No, it's effort inconsistency, which you're doing it. And that's why you are now a BU hero. And that's why I'm so passionate of getting Caleb Maddox as a BU hero. He does the exact same thing. Inspire through production, buddy. Keep it up, and we'll definitely do a full interview.
Dude, we're doing it soon. Everyone doesn't already know about BU Heroes, better go check it out. It's lit. And on that note, we're ending it off on It's Lit. So adios, Facebook Live, and make sure you go follow it because, once again, it's lit.
Thanks again for joining us on 20 Under 20s, where we interview the teenagers of Generation Z who are making an impact in business. To get behind-the-scenes advice from our guests and to receive the 10 best pieces of advice ever given on the show, visit 20under20s.com. That is 20under20s.com, and sign up to receive the tips. Also, please subscribe, share, rate, and review this podcast. It makes a huge difference, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, and see you next time at 20 Under 20s with Jesse Kay.